Right, if you want to turn to page 628, we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 4, and I believe 1 to 27 is a whole lot. Listen, my sons, to the father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender, and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way, for they cannot sleep until they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil.
We turn to the New Testament, to Galatians chapter 3, and that's on page 1152. We're going to start at verse 26. Chapter 3, Galatians, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He's subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, we were children. We were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. This is God's word. Thanks, Steve.
For those of us who are parents, I don't know, I assume you're the same as me. You can remember the moment that you had your first child. Probably when you, if you've got numbers of children like I do, you can remember when you had each one of your children, what it was like. But particularly for us, we can remember what it was like. Heather and I can remember, yes, Heather's got an interesting expression on her face, when we had our first child. Because, we'd never been through any of this sort of stuff before. And Heather had a particularly hard labour. And in the end, she had to have an emergency caesarean in order for Ruth to be born. And so when Ruth was born, Heather got to see her for a bit, but then the doctors and the nurses were looking after Heather. So I went with the other nurses and looked after Ruth. And so, you know, you did all the things that you do. You weigh them and they do, you know, clean her up and all that sort of stuff. And then I wheeled her back into the room where she and Heather were going to be, but Heather wasn't there. She was still being looked after by the nurses and the doctors. And so there was quite a while there where I was sitting there just looking at this little child in the little crib or pram or whatever you call it. And then eventually someone came in and said I could actually hold her. I wasn't sure whether I was allowed to or not. And I remember, you know, I'm full of relief that we actually had a healthy child, you know, that they'd, you know, because it was a touch and go there for a little while. Full of joy, of course, that, you know, we had a lovely baby girl. But also, and I don't know if anybody else is like me, I was kind of sitting there thinking, gee, I better not mess this up. Because it's a wonderful privilege to have a child, but it's a huge responsibility, isn't it? And it, you know, sometimes it's lots of fun, but sometimes it's hard work, and sometimes it fills you with fear because you think you're messing it up. And we didn't just have one child, we went and had three. And there they are, that's a few years ago now, but we've actually had three children, and we're kind of going, sometimes everything's going okay, and sometimes we're pulling our hair out going, how on earth do we do this? And we need all the help that we can get. We need the help from our friends and family. We need help from you guys here at church. But most of all, we need help from God, don't we? We need God to help us to know how to be wise in raising our children. And so that's what we're looking at today. We're looking at the book of Proverbs because Proverbs and the rest of the Bible has a lot to say about how to be parents. But the interesting thing about Proverbs is it doesn't just talk about what it means to be a parent. It actually talks about what it means to be a child and how children are to live as well. That's helpful for us as parents to know what our children are to be doing, but also some of the guys have stayed in this morning to hear that part of the sermon, though you guys can tick off your parents if they're not living the way that they're supposed to be doing as well. So it's on both sides today. We're actually going to talk about what Proverbs and the Bible says about how we are to be, how we are to be wise, godly parents, and also what Proverbs and the rest of the Bible says about how we are to be wise, godly children as well. So that's where we're headed this morning. The first thing, we'll go for parents first, and the first thing that is that Proverbs will encourage parents to instruct or direct or to train their children. A famous verse out of Proverbs is chapter 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Our job is to train our children up, to instruct them, to direct them, to help them to know which way to go. And then if we do that well, when they are older, they will not depart from it. Have a look at chapter 4. Chapter 4 talks a lot about the role of parents and children. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, he says, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning. So do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. You see, our role as parents is to teach our children how to live wise lives in this world. We are to give them instruction in how they are to live and direction as to which way they are to go in this life so that they will live wise, godly lives. Now, of course, Proverbs doesn't give us an exhaustive list of everything we need to teach our children so that they can be wise and godly, but it does give us some ideas and some examples of what this wise, godly instruction will look like. Have a look with me at verse 14 of chapter 4. It talks about who they are to follow or not follow. It says, do not set your foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. In other words, don't follow those people who are going the wrong way, doing the wrong things. Verse 24 of chapter 4, it will talk about how they speak. It says, put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips, far from your lips. In other chapters, in chapter 24, it'll talk about how they are to relate to the authorities. Chapter 24, verse 21, it says, fear the Lord and the king, my son, and do not join with the rebellious. And in chapter 5, which we looked at last week, it will talk about how they are to be when they grow up and when they get married, and how they are not to go off and commit adultery. It says in chapter 5, verse 20, why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? You see, we instruct and direct our children each day in thousands of different ways. And as they grow older, the topics may change. But the goal is always the same. The goal, what is the goal for our direction and instruction of our children? Is that they become Christians and grow as Christians and live wise, godly lives on this earth. Remember that the theme of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. That's what we are to teach them. We're to teach them to fear the Lord, to be in a right relationship with God, and to grow in that relationship, and what that looks like and how they are to do that. And it's the idea of a path. And there's a verse from actually from Psalms. It says, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. It talks about the path in chapter 4 in verses 18 and 26 and 27. It's talking about there's a path, there's a way of life that we are to teach our kids to go. And that path, where is that path going? That path is going to heaven. That's where that path is going. And we need to teach our children to what that path looks like, where that path is, how they get on that path and walk along that path. What it means to be a Christian and to grow as a Christian. We are to instruct them and direct them how to walk along the path and which way the path is going. That all sounds fairly easy, doesn't it? Well, maybe, maybe not. But the Proverbs is a fairly practical book and very realistic, because it also spends a lot of time talking about what happens when they don't want to listen to you and when they ignore what you say. And so the second thing that parents are to do for their children is to discipline them. Proverbs, it spends a lot of time, I was surprised, it spends a lot of time talking about this. Let me read you some of the verses and listen carefully to what it's saying here. In Proverbs chapter 13... verse 24, it says, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18, says, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Proverbs is quite strong, very strong, isn't it? About the role of discipline. Now, it uses the word rod, and I think we kind of, in today's society, we could get hung up on that. It's not saying that you have to beat your children. That's the only way to do discipline. It's using the rod as a synonym for discipline. And what it's saying is not how you discipline that is as important, is the fact of whether you discipline or not that is important. And it's saying that if you never discipline your children, it's saying that if you always let them have their own way and go their own way, that is very dangerous for them. Because if your role is to teach them the way to go, the way, how to become a Christian and grow as a Christian, and yet when they turn away from that, you never tell them no, then of course they will not go that way. Because all of us naturally turn away from God, and all of us need that discipline to turn back to God and that direction. The focus is on helping the child become a Christian and grow as a Christian. It takes that instruction and direction, but it also takes the discipline. It's like if you've got a path, And this is a fairly good example. The path, the middle one there is going to Jesus, to the light. But of course, if you're, adults do it just as much as children. You go, no, I don't want to go that way. I'm going to go off my own way. The discipline is to tell them they are going the wrong way. They need to get back onto the path. They need to be following God and doing the things that He wants them to do. This is the role of the parent. So how do we do that today? How do we discipline our children today? Let me give you some examples and we can talk about this more some later. We might set boundaries and say to our children, and of course this will change as they grow. We'll say, look, this is acceptable behaviour. This is unacceptable behaviour. And there are consequences for stepping outside the boundaries. So, if they are quite young, you might say to them, look, you need to play nice. You need to not hurt your brother or sister when you're playing with them or the friend that you've got over to play. And if they deliberately hurt someone else, you might pull them out of that situation for a while and set them off to the side and say, you need to think about your behaviour, that your behaviour was wrong. And then you get them to come back and apologise to the child that they've hurt before they're allowed to play again. As they grow up a bit, they might start saying rude or nasty things, either to their siblings, that tends to happen a fair bit, or even to their parents. And again, you'll say that is not acceptable behaviour. And there are consequences for that. If you keep on doing that, you will lose your pocket money this week. They keep on doing that, you've got to stick with your word, there's no pocket money. As they grow up even more and perhaps become teenagers, you might say to them, look, yes, you're able to go out to that party, but you have to be home by 10 o'clock. And then they get home at 12 o'clock. And if they don't have a really good excuse, really good reason why they weren't able to get back on time, you might say, well, no more parties for a month. You see how there is discipline for going outside the boundaries, and it will change as the children grow. Now, can I say that the reason you are doing this is not so that they will become nicer, more obedient people, right? So that they'll be better members of society. That's not the reason that the Bible gives. It encourages us to obey the authorities, and that's a good thing. But the real reason that you are disciplining your children is not just that they will be nicer, is so that they will become Christians and grow as Christians. So, when you're disciplining your children, you need to actually explain to them the reason that what they were doing was wrong. And from a Christian point of view, why it was wrong. Let me give you an example. If they are hurting other people or being rude to other people, you might sit them down, and again, this is age appropriate, and say to them, look, what you have done is wrong. You've hurt that other person. And God has made that person, and He loves that person, and He wants us to love them too. And take care of them like He does. We need to be doing what God wants us to do. And so we need to love that person and not hurt them, just like God loves them. And you see how you are, the discipline is helping them understand how God wants them to live as a Christian. That's what Proverbs and the rest of the Bible will talk about when it's talking about discipline. Not discipline for discipline's sake. Not discipline so that people become nicer. Discipline so that children grow to become mature Christian men and women. So that's the role of the parent. To do that instruction and direction, to set that path, and the discipline to help them when they fall off that path to get back onto it. What about the children's role? Well, it's fairly simple to say, pretty hard to do. The children's role is to accept the parents' discipline and direction and become wise. In chapter 1, verse 8, it says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. And then in chapter 4, it speaks about this a lot. In verse 1, it says, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. Verse 10, listen, my son, and accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. Verse 20, My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. So, what's the goal in all this listening to your parents? Because that's what it seems to be saying to do over and over again. Children, listen to what your parents have to say and do what they say. Well, the goal is become a Christian and grow as a Christian. And there's a great passage in Proverbs chapter 2 which talks about this, talks about what the children are to do and what will happen. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So as children listen to their parents, they will find, if the parents are teaching them the things of God, they will find, understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. They will understand what it means to be a Christian and to grow as a Christian. And kids, teenagers, if you do that, if you listen to your parents and find out what they're telling you about Jesus and you accept that and become a Christian and grow as a Christian, then your parents will be overjoyed. It's the one thing more than anything else that a child can do to make their parents happy. In chapter 23, verse 15, it says, my son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. And in chapter 20, verse 24, it says, the father of a righteous man, in other words, a man who is right with God, the father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. So that's the role of the child, is to hear what the parents have to say, especially about what it means to be a Christian, and to accept that, and to grow and become a Christian and a godly young man or woman. Now, Proverbs, again, is very practical when it's talking about this, and it actually says, it actually talks about what happens when a child becomes an adult. And it actually says it is not a parent's fault if a children do not accept discipline and direction when they grow up and they don't become a Christian. It's not the parent's fault. In the end, the child, as they grow into an adult, has to take that responsibility themselves. In chapter 13, verse 1, it says, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. And in chapter 15, verse 5, it says, a fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. In the end, when children grow up into adults, they have to take on this faith for themselves. They have to become responsible adults, responsible for their own actions and their own beliefs. Let me give you an example of this, perhaps a negative example of this. Can anybody actually tell me who that is? It's Naomi Campbell. Well done. Okay, so who's Naomi Campbell? She's a model. She's apparently, I had to look this up. She's a supermodel, whatever it means to be a supermodel rather than an ordinary model. I don't know, maybe it means you make a lot of money or something like that. I don't know if you know this, but poor Naomi has a little bit of a temper on her. And I looked this up and it said between 1998 and 2008, she was accused 10 times, it's kind of like once a year, of committing acts of violence against her employees, associates, and in one instance, police officers. Now, not just accused, she was actually convicted of most of those. She did so many things wrong that she was banned from British Airways. She was not allowed to fly with them anymore because she blew up at them and then spat at the police and all sorts of things. And they interviewed her after that one. That was probably the biggest one. And they said, "Well, yeah, what's going on? Why are you doing this?" And she said, "Oh, I had a really bad upbringing, and it's my parents' fault that I'm this way." Now she's my age; she's 44. She said there's something wrong with the way that her parents raised her. Now, I can't remember whether she said they were too strict or they weren't strict enough. Now, she wasn't accusing them of abuse. Let me be clear here. She was accusing them of not being perfect parents. And so she said, as a 44-year-old or a 40-year-old, whenever it happened, that her actions were not her fault, they were her parents'. And I heard a guy speaking about this, and he said, look, at some point, surely by the time you're about 35, you've got to say, it's not my parents' fault anymore, it's mine, if my behaviour is bad. I'm responsible for what I do and not do. I'm responsible for what I believe or not believe. We can't blame our parents forever. And so as our children grow up and they become teenagers and then young adults and then adults, they will need to take on the Christian message for themselves. And it is their responsibility whether they accept it or not, whether they live lives that honour and glorify God or not. And as they grow, their relationship with you will change, won't it? That what you're telling them to do when they're 5 is quite different to what you might tell them to do when they're 18. The Bible talks about what happens as we grow up and what happens when we're adults and we still have parents. We still are children, we still have parents, but we're no longer children. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about this. It says, children, and that's physical children, 5, 10-year-olds, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. In other words, children are to obey their parents while they are young. But then it talks about the big overarching theme, which is for all people at all time, which is to honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment, remember, one of the Ten Commandments, with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So for us who are adults, we no longer have to obey our parents, but we have to honour them. So when I go and visit my parents, I don't sit there and then they tell me what to do and then I go off and do it. That's not the way that relationship works anymore. They might try, but it doesn't necessarily work that way. But how am I going to honour them as an adult child of my parents? Well, I'm still going to listen to what they have to say, especially when they want to give me some advice about a situation that they've got more experience in than me. But also, I'm going to take to bear what I know and what I understand, and I'm going to make a wise and godly decision. And as I make wise and godly decisions, and as I live a life that honours God, then I'm honouring my parents as well. The way that I live will show, to some degree, how my parents raised me. And as I make good decisions, that will bring honour to them. So, let's sum it up. What has Proverbs been talking about? It's saying that parents are to direct and discipline their children so that they will become truly wise, in other words, Christian, and children are to accept their parents' discipline and direction. And in the end, children are responsible for how they are when they grow up. So that's what Proverbs says, but I was thinking about it, I'm thinking, well, why does it say that? Because at the moment, all we've got is this is what we are to do and not do. And then as I read through other parts of Proverbs and through the other parts of the Bible, it said, well, this is the way that God is. We are to model our lives on the way that God treats us because, of course, God is our Heavenly Father. He disciplines and directs us. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, it says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. God is our Heavenly Father. He directs us, he disciplines us, and he sets a model for us as parents. The way that God is to us is the way that we are to be to our children. And God did that through the Old Testament to the people that Solomon was originally talking to. He gave them the law, which told them, he said, now that I have saved you, now that you are my children, this is how you are to live. This is the road that you are to follow. And, of course, he punished them when they went away from that, when they stopped following him. The exile and lots of other ways, he punished them, not just to be nasty to them, but to bring them back into a right relationship with him. And he rewarded them when they obeyed him. He gave them blessing upon blessing. And so we can see throughout the Bible the example of God as our Heavenly Father, and that we as parents are to follow his example. But of course we have another example in the Bible as well. We have the example of Jesus. Jesus is the perfect Son. He always obeyed his Father, and he accepted his Father's discipline and direction. And so Jesus is wisdom acted out on this earth perfectly. In his relationship with the Heavenly Father, Jesus acted as the obedient Son, the perfectly wise child. He continuously and perfectly feared the Lord. From the cradle to the grave, he walked the way of wisdom. And so he sets up the model that children are to follow. So we have a great model of the way that those relationships are to work. God is the Father, Jesus is the child. We get the model of how to be a parent from God and how to be a child from Jesus. If we want to know how to be a parent, look to God's example. If we want to know how to be a child, look to Jesus' example. But even more than that, we actually get to join into that family, into those relationships. Through Jesus, we get into a right relationship with God. And that's where we get this the other passage that was read out to us from Galatians. In Galatians 3:26, it says, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." In other words, we are part of that family now. It's not just a model for us to follow. We're in it. God is our Father. Jesus is our brother. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 6 it says, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." It's great news for us because we become part of that family. We can join in with the relationships between God and Jesus. God is our Father. Jesus is our brother. We can be part of that everlasting relationship. But it's also great news for us because for those of us who perhaps grew up with parents who weren't good role models, who weren't necessarily Christians, or even if they were, they really didn't know how to raise us in a way that honoured God. Because if that was the only model we had to follow, then we'd be doomed to make the same mistakes as they did. But now we're in another relationship. Now we have another model to follow. We can follow God and Jesus' example. And we have the wise words of Proverbs and other parts of the Bible to help us to be wise and godly parents and children. And we have God's Spirit living inside us, taking the words of the Bible and applying them to our lives to help us to grow in our relationship with God and in our ability to parent or to be a wise and godly child. The Spirit will take God's word and help you to be a more godly parent. The Spirit will take God's word and help you to be a more godly child. Now that we're in that relationship, we have that help. We don't have to follow the mistakes of the past. So what should we take away from Proverbs today? For parents, we are to be like God. We are to follow his example as our Heavenly Father. We are to direct and instruct and to discipline our children. But we are to do it so that they will become Christians and grow as Christians. And children are to be like Jesus, to follow his example in the way that he related to his Heavenly Father. We are to accept the direction and the instruction and the discipline of our parents. And we are to obey them and to grow up to be wise, godly adults, responsible for our own decisions. And for everyone, no matter whether you're a parent or a child or whatever situation you find yourself in, we know that we are part of God's family through Jesus and through what Jesus has done for us. And we know that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will help us to be a more godly parent or child. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Proverbs. We thank you that you teach us how to be parents and children. We thank you for your example to us through yourself and your Son. Help us to take this seriously. Help us to work hard at growing in our particular role. And we pray that we will continue to ask you for help to be a more godly parent and a more godly child. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.